Now, Friday, the 15th of September, marked the end of a 20-year-long journey for the spacecraft Cassini because it was purposefully crashed into the atmosphere of Saturn. It had taken about 7 years to reach Saturn from the Earth, and since then, and on arrival, it's been exploring the system of rings and the moons around Saturn for the last 13 years. It's been transmitting what it's discovered back to scientists at NASA and at the European Space Agency. John Czarnecki, who is now the president of the Royal Astronomical Society in the UK, but also helped to build the Huygens probe, which was part of the Cassini spacecraft, is with us to help us to celebrate the end of Cassini and reflect a bit on what it discovered. So, John, why did they crash it?
We got to the point where it was literally running out of fuel and it wouldn't have been possible to control it for any longer, you know, to do the fine pointing and attitude manoeuvres that you need to do detailed scientific measurements. So this was a planned destruction, if you like, and the safest way to do it from a scientific perspective, by burning it up in Saturn's atmosphere.
Some commentators have pointed out that by doing this in advance of it running out of fuel and manoeuvring it onto this trajectory, which began back in April of this year, didn't it? It enabled scientists to gain insights into bits of Saturn that would have endangered and imperiled the probe possibly previously.
Yes, that's absolutely right. So for the last few months, the orbit, which has been changing in such a way that it would eventually end up crashing into the cloud tops of Saturn, but the orbit took it diving between the innermost ring of Saturn and the top of Saturn's atmosphere. So that's something pretty risky that you'd never have done during the regular part of the mission. But on this final dive, Cassini came closer in than anybody or any craft had ever been before. And so it was able to collect some unique data. Normally the data is stored on board and then slowly beamed back to the Earth. But of course, because of the destruction of the craft, the data had to be sent back literally as it was collected.
And has that data arrived? Do we have it?
Yes. Scientists have it. They're poring over it at the moment. There was a press conference just a few hours, I think, after the demise of Cassini from the final images taken, which I think were taken the day before the final demise. They were able to work out exactly where Cassini plunged into Saturn, and they're poring over the data. I think what's going to be particularly interesting is the magnetometer data. So this is the magnetic field. It's one of the few ways, maybe the only way, that you can say something directly about what's going on at the very center of Saturn, because the magnetic field is generated in the core. So otherwise, of course, we've got really no way of getting to the center of Saturn.
One of the other interesting things about Saturn that no one can explain, perhaps this will shed new light, is the whole question that the top half of Saturn seems to rotate at a slightly different speed than the bottom half, doesn't it? And we don't really understand how it can be doing that.
That's right. I think the rotation is one of the mysteries. And of course, it's been collecting data ever since Cassini arrived, which was back in 2004. And although there have been something like 4,000 scientific papers published already from Cassini and the Huygens probe, the truth is that this data is going to be analysed for, you know, probably the next 20 years.
It's also the biggest geyser in the solar system, isn't it? Well, or at least not Saturn, but one of its moons, Enceladus. And that was another big Cassini first to discover that enormous plume coming out of this tiny moon.
It was. And of course, that was one of the big surprises. Enceladus is a relatively small 500 kilometre size moon, and we knew a little bit about it, but we didn't expect anything dramatic to come from it. But of course, it was found that it is in fact spewing out not just water, but there seem to be organic molecules as well. So this means that this is a rather active place. It's not beyond the bounds of possibility that within Enceladus, where there's almost certainly a subsurface ocean below, or at least pockets, large pockets of water below the icy surface, there could even be the simplest form of life living quite happily there.
I'm going to share with people, John, because our relationship goes back about 20 years, because you came to Cambridge University when I was a medical student at Cambridge University, and you gave a talk because you had helped, as one of the team members, to design this Huygens lander that you said at this talk, I'm going to send this thing aboard Cassini, and it's going to travel through space for 7 years. And I thought that was mind-boggling for a start. And I'm going to send this thing to land on the surface of Titan, which is Saturn's largest moon. Now, I didn't touch base with you again until 7 years later, and that's when Cassini arrived in the Saturnian system. And then you sent me a text message on a phone which has long since died, but I still have the phone, I still have the message, and it says, "Pyro's blown, probe away." And that was you deploying the Huygens lander down onto the surface of Titan. What was that like, seeing all that 20 years plus of work to get that out there?
Gosh, well, yes, you brought back quite some memories for me. We had 7 years of developing the instruments and the probe, launched in 97 and then arrived at the Saturnian system 2004. And it was Christmas Day when Cassini released Huygens. So that was the message, which, you know, at least told us that Huygens had been let loose and it was on a collision course with Titan. You know, I'm not a poet, I'm a mere scientist, so I find it hard to find the words to describe the emotions that you feel, because when you work on a space project like this, it really almost totally takes you over. You belong to it body and soul, and so it's very emotional.
It's an amazing achievement. John, thank you very much for sharing it with us. It's a pleasure to have you back on the programme. Professor John Czarnecki from the Royal Astronomical Society and co-designer and builder of the Huygens lander as part of the Cassini mission.